Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Look, no cast. Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Polygamy skeptics complain that they aren't taken seriously. I'm going to issue a challenge to them to get peer-reviewed. We'll also talk about the charge that some people say that charging Joseph Smith with polygamy impugns his character. What does attorney Mark Tensmeyer say about that? Check out our conversation. Well, I think this all brings us up to the idea that if the polygamy skeptics want to be taken seriously, they've got to become peer-reviewed, don't they?
Yeah. If they want to engage the academic community, then they absolutely do. I mean, because that is how you engage the academic community. I mean, that's how, up until the 1970s, it was the common belief that Joseph Smith was the founder of the priesthood ban. And it was Lester Bush and a few other people that challenged that academically, and they got a response, and that is now the consensus that he was not.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you want to engage the academic community, if you want the academic community to respond to you, that is how you do it. That's how it happens for any discipline.
You've got to start writing in Dialogue or Journal of Mormon History or John Whitmer.
Not even that. I mean, if you think that there's going to be, that that's not going to be written in anything, I mean, just write in any kind of peer review. Place, right in like a History of Illinois journal, just somewhere.
Yeah.
If you really want to engage. But I think one of the arguments for positive evidence of forged documents is history of the church, because in history of the church things have changed quite a bit. The Nauvoo period. There's a quote from Brigham Young that's included in the History of Church. We spent all day revising the history of Joseph Smith. There's a journal entry. It's in October, I believe it's October 1843, 1842. I don't remember where it says that he's walking up the street and he's saying that how to handle people that are teaching plurality of wives, and that it's his position that a man should only have one wife. And that in History of the Church, when that got written and published in the 1850s, they changed that, where they say you can only have one wife unless he's been commanded to otherwise by revelation and by, you know, through me who holds the keys. And that was added. And so they say, well, that's proof of forged documents. Well, you have to understand that there's a difference between writing a history, a secondary source, and changing primary sources. There's a big, big difference there. That was a pretty common way of telling history and reproducing documents at the time. Joseph Smith himself did so extensively when he started History of the Church. He rewrote things. I mean, he put the 1835 versions of the revelations in as if those had been how those revelations had gone since the 1820s, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
with no explanation. He completely removed Jesse Gauss, who was the first second counsel in the first presidency.
That's right.
He played a major role in the establishments of the United Order. He completely removed him and, you know, reworded everything that originally referred to him to refer to Frederick G. Williams. So he did stuff like that. And that was actually a fairly common way of doing things, of writing history at the time, documentary history. The History of George Washington that came out about the same time did a very similar thing. So that's, people just wanted to create a cohesive narrative. And so that's really what that was. And so I don't see how that discredits the Utah era of Mormonism and doesn't discredit Joseph Smith. I don't, because they both did it. Mm-hmm. And also, it doesn't mean that because they did that, that they actually went and changed the primary documents themselves.
I mean, how do you even do that?
I mean, I guess you could. I mean, they didn't, because, I mean, we have the history of the church. We know what they want the documents to have said to match their thing. And we also have Joseph Smith's journal. They don't match. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's, I mean, again, it's like, if they're going to go through all this trouble, why even keep the original documents around to show that you were, you know, to show that you had forged things if you're going to go to that effort to do it? So,
right.
I mean, again, it goes back to they go through so much effort to do all these things, and then anyway, when the conspiracy. So, I don't really think that's, yeah. So, forged documents. I mean, later documents, you can classify them as what they are, as Utah era documents. But as far as primary source documents being forged, I don't see a case for that. That's another big reason to not. I mean, all these documents have to be fake, and there's not really good evidence that there is.
Well, I just want to throw out a challenge to all the polygamy skeptics out there: get your stuff peer reviewed, and then I'll be more than happy to talk to you. So,
oh well, yeah, and because of that, I mean, the fact that it isn't peer reviewed doesn't mean it's true or false. I mean, some doesn't have to be, you know, it's on a bandwagon or appeal to authority. But I mean, if you want to at least engage the academic community, that is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I mean, if you're of the opinion that objectively that position is reasonable, that is that it's not a religious apologetic, then I think it's a fair expectation that you should be able to, you know, make the case through using academic standards.
Mm-hmm. All right. One more thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, there are some people that get very upset when you talk about Joseph Smith practicing polygamy and will say, you're impugning Joseph Smith's character. And he would never have done something like that. Or he couldn't have been a prophet. How would you respond to those kind of accusations?
Well, I'll tell a quick story about that. About 3 years ago, I was with the family. We were at the temple lot, and we stopped and we visited the temple lot. And I wish I had caught his name, the name of the gentleman who's the guide there. I assume he's an elder or some priest.
Was it Randy Sheldon?
No, this is after he died.
Oh, Randy's dad was, yeah, I'm trying to remember what his name is, but Randy's still there.
Oh, maybe, quite yeah. Possibly. And one of the things I said to him is that I'm really impressed by how your church has had a commitment to tell the truth about our history, regardless of damaging. Now, you remember the Temple Lot Church is about as anti-polygamy as they come in,
that's right,
in the Mormon world. They absolutely. And they are, in terms of primitivism, of not having newer revelation that contradicts older revelation, they are, they do that more than anybody. I mean, they reject a lot of Joseph Smith's revelations. They reject the Three Degrees of Glory because they say that it contradicts the Book of Mormon. You know, they reject offices that aren't in the Bible or the Book of Mormon. So, and they reject polygamy as being a true document, but they've always maintained that Joseph did it. And so I mentioned that to them and said, I'm really impressed that your church, and always has, been committed to tell the truth no matter what. And he said, absolutely. He said, absolutely. He said, our job is not to be here to defend Joseph Smith. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of truth. And so I would add to that, you're not slandering Joseph Smith by telling the truth about what he did. If it's something he did, it's not slander. If it's true, it's not slander. That's the definition of slander is things that are not true. And so I can understand, I fully understand that there are people that look not only at polygamy, but the circumstances about how it was introduced and how Joseph went about it, that can look at that and say, wow, that shows that he's not an honest person. We can't trust anything he says. I can understand that. I don't feel that way. But I can see how people wouldn't. I understand that. But because something challenges a deeply held conviction of yours, or challenges, is uncomfortable to you, doesn't make it not true. Personally, I would much rather look at the Joseph Smith as he was, and decide from there if that's something somebody I can believe in as a prophet, than have to imagine somebody who wasn't in order to believe in him as a prophet. And I suppose that's my thoughts on that. I understand it's a tough thing, but another thing, I don't think him being a prophet, and if we're looking at this as polygamy being a crime, something that discredits him and impugns his character, I don't necessarily think it does, but if we're going with that, I don't think he's entitled to any more benefit of the doubt than any other person would be. I mean, if you're looking at this body of evidence, and if it was anybody else, you would say it's obvious, then it shouldn't be any different for him.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something he did, then that's what he did. If the evidence shows that's what he did, then that's what he did. I mean, I would love it if it was really the Indians who massacred the settlers in the Fountain Meadows massacre, and it wasn't the Mormons. Those four people still would have been killed, but at least it wouldn't be my people that did it.
Right.
But that's not what happened. And I'd much rather look at the reality and come to terms with that. Truth comes before reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather find the truth, accept the truth, and then decide where I go from there, then try to argue that's not what happened. So those are my thoughts on that.
All right. Well, is there anything we missed? Is there anything that polygamy skeptics bring up and that kind of blindside people who aren't
familiar? Well, a lot of things that brought this up, and it's, I guess, real quick on this, it's the supposed admissions that Brigham Young made, that he actually is the one that had the revelation on polygamy.
Okay.
One of them, this is one people point to, it's an 1875 conference where he said, when he was in England, the Lord manifested to me visions in his spirit that I did not then understand. I never opened my mouth to any person concerning them until I came to Nauvoo. Joseph had never mentioned this. There had never been a thought of it in the church that I ever knew anything about at the time. But I had this for myself, and I kept it for myself. And he's talking about polygamy. So he's saying that he had this revelation in independent of Joseph Smith, that polygamy was a true principle while he was still in England. And so I think that's an admission. But even then, maybe Brigham Young did, maybe he didn't. Personal revelation is a thing in Mormonism. It's having revelation about something that's going to happen in the church is a common thing. That same speech of Brigham Young's, he goes on at length about baptism for the dead being something that he had revelations about before Joseph did, and that was something Joseph implemented while the apostles were in England. And there's actually contemporary evidence that in England they had that thought, the apostles in England had thought about baptism for the dead before they heard that Joseph was doing it. So I don't think it does. He says that he didn't do anything about it. It wasn't until he came home and Joseph explained it to him that he understood what it was that was about. So, I mean, maybe he did. I mean, you know, that's a common thing. Lucy Mack Smith writes about that sort of thing all the time in her book, about how one of them, or how Joseph Smith Sr. had this revelation that later was something that showed up in the Book of Mormon or things of that nature. I mean, it happens. It's I don't think that that's an admission. The other one is a, I'll find it, is a quote from Schuyler Colfax, who was a congressman at the time, and he later became the vice president of the United States. But he visited Brigham Young in 1865, and they had a conversation, and Schuyler, he wrote about it. He said, he suggested that Brigham Young abolish polygamy, and he says he pointed to it. And then Brigham Young said he'd be glad if he could have a revelation suspending polygamy. It had been a great trial for him to submit to it, that the revelations of the Doctrine and Covenants declared for monogamy, but that polygamy was a later revelation commanded by God to him and a few others and permitted in advice to the rest of the church. So basically all in that, Brigham Young says is that the revelations in the Doctrine and Covenants, which at the time was the 1844 Doctrine and Covenants that didn't have Section 132 in it, that still had the old article of marriage that said that that said monogamy was a standard. He said that the revelation on plural marriage came after those revelations. Is really all he says. He says it commanded me and a few others to take plural wives. He doesn't say that it was a revelation he had. And that's from a journalist of Schuyler Colfax that was published later. I found another source on this about how Colfax had written a letter to the War Department at about the same time, and he recounts the same conversation. In that one, he says, Brigham Young says it was Joseph Smith that had the revelation on plural marriage. So, okay. The quote I read earlier, he doesn't say that it wasn't, that it was him, not Joseph. He just said it came later. And so, these are the things that people look at as missions, as kind of your smoking gun type things that that Brigham Young started polygamy, not Joseph Smith. I don't think that they are. I don't see how looking at them like that you can come up with that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
All right. So that's it. After 3 hours, that's it, huh?
Yeah, okay. I think we covered a lot of the stuff that's in there, so...
Well, Mark Tensmeyer, I really appreciate you sharing with us all this knowledge about the polygamy skeptics and how we can talk about those. Do you have any upcoming articles or books? Can you remind us about that?
Well, there's the one I've been talking about. It's a chapter that's going to be in a book by Signature Books. That's just about early Mormon polygamy, and my chapter is about things we've been talking about. Some of the things we've been talking about, we covered a lot more things than I talk about in that chapter.
Oh, wow. So we got the comprehensive view.
Yeah. I didn't want to leave too much out. but then again, there's always stuff that's left out. So it's my hope and my expectation that this will be followed up by more things, either by me or by somebody else, that covers things like the Conquerites and all kinds of things like that. So,
do we have a name of the book yet?
I don't know if we do. It's by Signature Books. There might be a name for it, but if there is, I don't
know. You don't know what it is yet. Then you don't know release date or anything.
It's going to be year after next, at least at the soonest.
Okay.
But I'm glad that we have this interview here to people to use in the meantime.
Yeah, that's great.
I might follow it up about this with this other things. I might follow this the paper up with just an article that just goes over miscellaneous arguments people have made and things, because there's a lot of the stuff we covered here that I don't go into in the article, and I think it would be good to just have some place to where it could be.
Yeah.
Where it could be, and so, but who knows? Maybe somebody else will beam me to it for that, which I'd be happy about. somebody else, and I think that'd be fine. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me here on Gospel Tangents. Really appreciate it, Mark.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Mark Tensmeyer. Mark, thank you for sitting down with me and for sharing your knowledge. I think we did a slam dunk there. I know some people won't be convinced, but appreciate your patience. You've got way much more patience than me on this topic. So anyway, thanks again. In our next conversation, I'm excited to introduce Jonathan Neville. He's a Heartland expert, and I was surprised to find out that at one time, he was really a big proponent of the Mesoamerican Book of Mormon geography theory.
I mean, I was oblivious to the debates about the geography, really, because I just assumed the Mesoamerican. I didn't even know there was an alternative. You know, I'd seen once in a while someone mention a map around New York or something, but I'd never paid that much attention to it. Because it seemed to me that, you know, I knew a lot of these scholars from when I had been at BYU and reading their materials and BYU Studies and The Interpreter, all these magazines. And I thought, well, these guys must know what they're doing. It just wasn't on my radar until I saw this alternative. When Rod showed me these things and Wayne explained them to me, and I started doing, you know, my attitude is trust but verify, right?
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at Amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each, then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.